I was asked to announce that tonight's shiur should be Le'ilui Nishmas Anbar Bas Ezra, which is Daniel Machmor's mother. So Neshama should have an aliyah. And we are, in fact, talking about things involving women in the Gemara over here. So we're holding on page Tes Vav in Shabbos, middle of Os Chof Beis, about the middle of the page. So we started talking about that there were three special mitzvahs of women, nidach, chala, hadlakas, and ner, and if they're careless about them, then noshim mesis b'shas kledosa, then they can be in trouble when they give birth. So the Gemara had explained, we learned yesterday, why dafka that would be the consequence for these, what's special about these three mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, maishna b'shas kledosa. Why specifically are they mesis when they're giving birth? Why not any other time? So the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of popular expressions that different Amuroim quote to that express the idea. In other words, that when a person is already in trouble, when a person is already in danger or already in difficulty, then they're likely to be in worse trouble. So in other words, the idea being with each one of these things, once she's already in danger because of the childbirth, then she's much more likely that she needs greater schosim to get out of it. And if she doesn't have them, then yeah. So Amar Rava, or Gaba, it says on the bottom, Nafal Torah Chadad L'Sakina, as the expression goes, when the ox falls down, sharpen the knife. In other words, it's a lot easier to sheft an ox when it's lying on the ground than when it's standing up. So once it's already down, then quick sharpen the knife and sheft it before it gets back up. So the nimshal is, in other words, once her mazel is already in a bad way because she's already in danger, then she's much more likely to get her puranus at that point. Abaya Omer, tapush tirus amsa, another popular expression, let the maidservant increase her disobedience. Bechad machter alahavi, she's gonna get punished for all of them with one beating. So again, in other words, the metaphor being, in other words, that once the woman is already experiencing yisurim, which is already because as a result of Chava's aveira eating from the Eitz Hadas, so now the potential punishments for not being careful with her three mitzvahs are included in that as well. The same way as the maidservant gets whipped one time and it covers all the various things that she did. Rav Chista Omar, Rav Chista says a different metaphor. Shavti l'rabia d'minafshe nafo. Leave the drunk person alone. He's going to fall down on his own. In other words, you don't need to knock him down. He's already staggering and he's going to fall down on his own. So the same way, in other words, as it is, she's pregnant. She needs to daven for Hashem's rachmim that she should have an easy birth. So it's not even so to speak. Rav Chista is saying, not even so to speak, Hashem has to punish her. All he has to do is take away the special help that he would give her in childbirth, and automatically she's in trouble. The same way as you don't have to do anything to the drunk person. He's already staggering and he's going to fall on his own. He needs the help, and if you don't help him, then yeah. Ma'ukva Omar. Ma'ukva says a different explanation, a different expression of it. Raya Chigra. If the shepherd is lame, so he can't run after the animals as easily, the izi rotan, and the goats are running, so he can't, so like this, you have goats that are not staying in line, he wants to be able to whack them and punish them, but he can't because he can't get so easily because he can't run after them. Well, abav chutra mili, when it comes in front of when it comes to the entrance of the pen, chutra in the Gemara sometimes means a stick, but here it means the pen where you keep the animals. You have, for example, in Parshas Matos, when it tells about Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, how they built their cities with pens for their cattle and their sheep. So the word over there is Gidras Tzon, and Targum Onkelos translates it Chaturin Da'on. So above Chotra, by the gate of the pen, Mili, there there'll be the words, there there'll be what he talks to the goat and tells it off for what it did. And when it comes to the pen of the sheep, again, dori being another word for a pen, Choshbana, then there will be the reckoning. So in other words, he doesn't try to chase after the goats and the sheep that are out of line at the time because he can't run after them. Instead, he waits until they're gathered into their pen and then he deals with them. the nimshal being, in other words, like this, you have a woman when she's healthy, so fine, she has various chosim, so the makatik again don't have the ability to mention her avedus in front of Hashem. Now, when she's already in a place of danger, and she needs nisim to save her, so then the makatrigim, the malachim, not a makatrigan, who are more likely to mention her avedus and see and ask Hashem, does she really deserve a nis? Rapapa Amar, and Rapapa says another metaphor. Abab Chanvasa, by the doorway of the store, or Chanus, a lot of times in the Gemara means more like a bar or a restaurant or something where you can get food and drink. So by there, Nefishi Achmi Menachmi, there you have lots of brothers and lots of friends because you have plenty of food over there, so therefore everybody is friendly to each other. Above Bizyoni, on the other hand, when you're at the door of humiliation, at the door where there's poverty and loss and whatever, loy achi veloy menachmi, then all of a sudden you don't have any brothers or friends because nobody wants to have anything to do with you in a situation like that. The same way, in other words, the metaphor being that when she's already in danger, then the malachim who normally might stand up on her behalf, all of a sudden they're nowhere to be found, and therefore they're not advocating on her behalf by Hashem. So all of these various metaphors are meant to express the idea, in other words, that's why particularly when she's in childbirth is a dangerous time, and that's when these avedus are likely to be mentioned. One of the Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara, Maloy HaRoyim, I think it is, comments on the first couple of these Amiroyim seem to be kind of out of order. Rava and Abaya are a generation, or even Rabba, are a generation after of Chista and Ma'ukva. So why are those statements first? And see, he explains that the first three of them actually have to do specifically with Nida, Chala, and Adlakas and Ner. The first one, for example, about shechting the ox, is connected with Nida, where after all, being over on Nida is an Issur Kares, and therefore the first metaphor has to do with shechting the animal. And similarly, the other ones have to do with Chala and Adlakas on Ner respectively. So therefore, the Gemara put them first. Okay. The Gemara says, "V'gavri heichim mivdiki." What about heichim mivdiki? What about men? They don't go through the danger of childbirth. At what point in their life are they more likely to be checked over for their avedus and are more likely to be punished? Or more likely for their schosim and their chovas to be mentioned. So Omer Shlokish Bashar Shogram Ala Gesher, when they're crossing a bridge. Bridges, you know, you have to remember, bridges in those times weren't like the Brooklyn Bridge or something now. They weren't that solidly built. They were basically just a bunch of planks across the water, and they could easily break and collapse. So therefore, that's a dangerous time. The Gemara says, Gesher Chula, you're telling me only a bridge? What if a person never crosses a bridge like that? Okay, Ema Ka'en Gesher. We don't mean specifically a bridge. We mean any other kind of place of danger. For example, Rashi says when a person is walking under a wall under a shaky wall, or a person goes on a trip, those are also dangerous circumstances. And the same thing, a man has to be careful that he has chosim to go with for such places. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Rav le'ovah b'mabra v'yosebe ovid g'chavim. Rav would not cross a river on a ferry where there was a goy sitting in it. Omar, because he thinks to himself, Dilma mifkid le dina ale, maybe judgment will be remembered in Shamayim on him. This goy has done averus. He hasn't necessarily, for example, kept his shev mitzvos in a nayach. So therefore Hashem might decide to punish him. Or matpisna bahadei, and I'm going to end up caught up with him. I'm going to end up being the caught in the crossfire because the boat is going to sink in order to punish him, and I'm not going to have enough chosim to get out of it. On the other hand, Shmuel was the opposite. Shmuel like over Elab Mabra de Israel Gefavim. Shmuel, on the contrary, would only cross on a ferry where they were going. Omer, because he said, Satan, but today Umi, like Charlotte, the Satan is not able to overpower two nations at the same time. In other words, the idea is a Malach has given only one Shlichos, as we know by Abraham, for example. So therefore, if his Shlichos is to harm a Goy, then he's not going to be able at the same time to harm a Yid as well. Because that would be a different shlichus. Ian Yaakov relates this actually to a Gemara a Gemara in Cholin that mentions that Rav would consider, if he was about to cross a river and the ferry was available right there, then he would consider it a Siman Tov, whereas Shmuel would not, and therefore, so now he's figuring to himself what happens if there's a goy on there, the Siman Tov, that the ferry was right away available, may actually turn into a Siman Rav because there's a goy there, whereas Shmuel didn't take that view. Marsha points out, by the way, what about, I mean, you're going to say, Shmuel, that the Sultan is not able to have control over two nations, meaning that if you have a Yid and a Goy on a boat together, the boat is safe. And what about Yonah? You have the whole story of Yonah was on a boat with a bunch of Goyish sailors, and the ship was about to sink. The answer is, Marsha says, very simple. Because over there, the whole point was not to sink the ship. The whole reason the Eved should brought the storm in the first place was they should throw Yonah in the river, in the sea. So therefore, it wasn't the Sultan having control over both nations. The Gemara continues, Rav Yanai bodik ba'over. Rav Yanai, before he would take a ferry, he would check it carefully to make sure there are no leaks or cracks or anything in it. And then he would go. So apparently he didn't take the view that it matters whether there are goyim or not. It's partially you have to check whether the ship is safe. So the Gemara says, Rav Yanai l'tameh. Rav Yanai went according to his own svara. Ge'omer, lo'olam al yaman odim emachim sakona lo'im sha'usim lo'ines. A person should never stand in a dangerous place and say that a nest will happen to him. Shema inos in loines, because first of all, Hashem might not decide to do a nest for him. The im ois in loines, and second of all, even if Hashem does do a nest for him, minakin loimus chiyosav, that will be deducted from his chosim. So he'll have less schar in olam haba. Omer Abchanin Maikros, and upon him says, where's a posik that expresses that idea? Yav Yaakov, who says, katonki mikolach sodim, mikolach emes, asher osisa esabdacha, he says, I've become small from all of the kindnesses and all the truth that you've done for your servant, for me. So in other words, he means katonti, in other words, my schusim have become less. Marsha mentions over here, first of all, there's a Gemara in, Marsha refers over here to a Gemara in Brachos that mentions a different point, not that Yaakov was concerned Shema Yigrem Achet, that he may have done something wrong that causes that now Hashem will have withdrawn his protection. And Marsha talks over there about that actually you need both of those things. If it was just a matter of chet, that wouldn't be necessarily reason enough for Hashem to rescind his promise. Because after all, when Hashem makes a promise for good, then it's going to come true. So therefore, he was worried about chet. But then on the other hand, he's not, if it's not exclusively chet, because then still, you would also have to have that a schosim have been reduced, and the combination of those two things is what to worry about. Over here, Marsha goes into some length over here dealing with the shita of the Ramban. Now Rashi brings on the pasuk this point about that he's concerned about that he says katonti, that I've become small in the sense, in other words, that my schosim have become less. And the Ramban has a long argument against Rashi and says that's not what it means. For one thing, the word katonti means I am small, not my schosim have become small. And he has a whole bunch of arguments against Rashi. So Marsha takes some time over here to deal at some length with the Ramban's objections to Rashi. So it can mean both. In other words, it can mean I'm small in the sense that I'm too small it means I'm humbled by the fact that you've done so much for me. The Alter Rebbe makes a similar point in Geras Beis and in Geras Kodesh that every chesed that the Eved does for a Yid, he has to feel very humble by himself. So it's shal ruach b'moed. But then also, Marsha says it can still mean what it's saying over here in the Gemara, that it means that it's been deducted from his chosim as well. The Gemara continues. So Rav Yanai then didn't want to rely on a nest, and therefore he checked the boat before he went on it. Similarly, Rav Zera, when it was a windy day, and particularly Rashi says Shusa means the south wind, which is a very strong wind, the Gemara mentions in other places, and it's able to even knock down trees or walls. So on a day when such a wind was blowing, he would not go out among the palm trees because one of them might fall on him and it might take a nest to save him. And the same kind of thing as Rav Yanai. Getting back to the women and childbirth, Tananabanan. In fact, in the Gemara, this is a little bit out of order. In the Gemara, it first has the next piece, which is an Oishof Gimel, and then it goes back to this. But that's, So we're turning up on him. Al Sholosh Averas Noshim Mesis Yovas. There are three Averas, as it said in the Mishnah, for which women die in childbirth, like it said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, the Lashon is not Yodos when they're giving birth, but rather Noshim Mesis Yolodos, that women die when they're young, when they're young women. Meaning, in other words, even not at a time of childbirth, just they die at an earlier age than they were. So for the same three Averas. Rab Acha says, aside from the three Averas that we're talking about in the Mishnah, there's also Ba'avon Shemachabsis, Soyas Neim B'Shamas, the Avera of that they clean off the filth of their children's clothes on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. It's the Malacha of Malabim. So they don't care about that. And therefore, that's another reason why it comes out that that women pass away at a young age. So Marashah explains, in other words, that now that's not necessarily in childbirth. That would fit more with Rebbe Eliezer's Noshim Mesis Yolodos, because who is it that has young children who are going to soil their clothes? Is young women. So therefore, when they're older, then they're already past that anyway. They're not going to be doing that. So therefore, what happens is they do this when they're younger, and therefore they end up passing away at a younger age. The Yesh Omerim, and then some say another problem is Al Shakurin La Urna Nakodesh Urna, because they call the Urna Kodesh Urna, which means just a cabinet. So actually explain the word Urna, which is similar to the word Urna in Lashon Kodesh, just means a cabinet or a closet. So they don't call it the Urna Kodesh like they're supposed to. They just say, so there are different Mephoshim. Some Mephoshim say that they call it Urna, which is the common Aramaic word for a closet, implying that if they called it Urin, there wouldn't be a problem. And in fact, there are places in Shas where it calls it Oren, without calling it Oren HaKodesh. So according to that explanation, the problem is that they call it by the common Aramaic term. And others say that no, the problem is that even in Lashon Kodesh, they should really be calling it Oren HaKodesh. It's one thing when the Gemara refers to it, it's obviously referring to the Oren HaKodesh, but in common speech, you have to be more careful about that. Tosfos points out, we're not talking about the Oren that Bezalel made, because that's not something that comes up in common conversation, such that there should be a problem with how people refer to it. We mean the Oren Kodesh in short. So that's another reason why women pass away young. Marshall says that one actually could refer to childbirth as well, besides the three Averis. We're saying in the Mishnah, there's this word, yeah, the Yesh Omerim, I'm mentioning a fourth one as well. So Tanya, in this connection, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar, Omer, Ba'avon Shnei Dvarim Amei Ha'aretz Mesim. There are two Averas for which Amei Ha'aretz die, young, that is. Number one, Al Shekurin La'Urin HaKodesh Urna, the same problem. They call the Urin HaKodesh Urna, which means a cabinet or a closet, rather than calling it by a respectful term. And the Maharal makes a point, in other words, that the Amei Ha'aretz, and to a certain extent, the women that we're talking about over here, don't have a full degree of seichel to understand the Kedusha, and therefore they call it something on their level, just an Urna, a cabinet. Not realizing that they have to elevate themselves to the level of realizing the seichel in turn. And number two, Baal Shakur and Beis HaKnesses, based on the second problem, is that they call the shul based on the house of the people, as if to imply, in other words, that it's only a place where people gather together, rather than a place where Hashem's Shechina is and where we daven and so forth. So in other words, the vort is, when you call it Beis HaKnesses, So the vort is, Mephoshim explained, when you call it Beis HaKnesses, then that's not so bad. It's true, of course, that Knesses means gathering, but that implies that not just that we gather there, but also that Hashem gathers there. But when you call it Beis Am, it's like you're saying, in effect, that only the people gather there, and you're ignoring Hashem altogether. Ironically, by the way, there are a number of Reform and conservative temples around the country that have the name Beis Am, so evidently whoever named them didn't know this Gemara. Tanya, Rav Yosi, Shlosha Bidke Misa Nivru B'Isha. There are three Bidke of death that were created in a woman. So Rashi explains that Bidke is Maloshin Boidek, checking. So we said that there are three things. Now, Shlosha Averas Noshim Mesis Yodos, according to the Chachamim from the Braisa before, that said that women die in childbirth because of these Averas. So therefore, they're called Bidke Misa in the sense that Hashem checks into at the time when they're in childbirth, have they been careful in these mitzvahs? Marsha says another possibility. The word bedek can also mean a crack or a break. Like you have, for example, bedek habayis really doesn't mean checking the house. It really means the cracks and the flaws in the house that near the Beis Mikdash that need to be repaired. So therefore, it means, in other words, that they're already in a time when their bodies are in a state of disrepair or in a state of breakage when they're in childbirth. And that's when we're saying that's when they're in particular danger. The Amilah Shloisha Divke Misa. Others have the word. Instead of Bidke, they switch around the Dalit and the Beis, creating the word Divke, which in Meloshin Devet, Meloshin connected. So these are things that connect and cause death to come early, which that would follow Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that would say Noshin Mesis Yolodis, that women die young for these things, lobbed after when they're in childbirth. And Marsha relates it to what he said before. We learned yesterday that he explained that the three mitzvahs and the three statements the Gemara said about them have to do with three levels of the neshama. So now what happens is it causes the devik, it causes the connection between the three levels of the neshama to separate, and therefore the person dies. And the three are nidachal of adlokas and there. So the divke versus divke, chodek Rabbi Eliezer, chodek Rabbanan. One, to say divke misa is like Rabbi Eliezer, that it's not just specifically at childbirth, it's any time during a young woman's life. Chodek Rabbanan, whereas the shloisha bidke misa would follow the opinion of the chachamim that this happens particularly when they're in childbirth, that they're being judged about these three things. Okay, more on the topic of when a person is in danger and the schosim, they need to be saved from it. A person should always daven for rachnim from Hashem that he shouldn't become sick. Which Ion Yaakov points out, now, to be sure, when Yisurim come on a person, and Chabivim Yisurim, you should accept them ba'ava, as we learned in Brachos. But nevertheless, if a person hasn't had them come yet, then better he should be davening that he shouldn't become sick. Because if a person does become sick, and they tell him, Minashamayim, Hobbies, Chos, Vihi, Potter. Now, if you want to be Potter from it, you have to bring a Chos, you have to bring some evidence that you deserve to be helped, Minashamayim, and then you'll be Potter from it. Omama Ukva Maikra, so Ma'ukva says, where's a Posik that expresses that idea? The Posik says that the mitzvah of Maike, you have to make a guardrail around your roof. Ki Yipol Hanoifel Mimen, because the one who falls might fall from it. So now the word mimenu in the simple sense means from it, means from the roof. But the Gemara is darshin, and the word mimenu means from him, mimenu lahaviraya, from him is whom a raya and a proof is going to have to be brought. In other words, the person himself who fell and now is injured because of it's going to be up to him to bring a proof to Hashem that he deserves to live, and otherwise, chas v'shalom, he may not. Marsha explained the reason that led Ma'ukva to Darish in the Pasuk that way is because otherwise the Mimenu refers back. You have multiple things mentioned in the Pasuk. So why would we assume that the Mimenu from it refers all the way back to the roof that's mentioned in the first half of the Pasuk? So therefore it's more logical to assume that it refers to the object of the sentence right before it, which is the object of the sentence right before, which is right before it, which is the Noifel, the one who fell. So therefore that yields this Dirasha. Tanya de Rabbi Shmuel. Then we learn in a brisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that another meaning of it is ki yipol hanoifel mimenu means mimenu means it's from him, meaning from the balabas, which is also Marsha explains as after all is that shortly before that in the pasuk v'loy sasim dam v'vesecha ki yipol hanoifel mimenu. So therefore you can also understand the mimenu as referring to you, the owner of the house. So it means roi zel lipo misheshes nebreshes. It means that this person who fell down ultimately, it was already destined from sheshes nebreshes that he would fall. And we see that shadow lo nofal v'akosiv korin noifel, because we see he hasn't. So Rashi explains, you know, it's koda dirdas mirosh. Hashem calls all the generations from the beginning. That Hashem knows in advance when everybody is going to live and when what they're going to do and when they get punished. So now, when the Torah is given, when the Torah is written, the person hasn't yet fallen, which I'm talking a hypothetical case that may happen, but of course it's calling Noifel, and yet the Pasuk is already calling him the Noifel, the fallen one. So in other words, at the time the Torah was given, and even 2,000 and some years before that, when Hashem created the world, it was already destined that he's going to be the fallen one. Ella, but the point is, so why is the pasuk saying nimenu and putting the blame on the balabas who doesn't make a mica? Shemagalgalin schusai dezakai, because Hashem makes good things happen through deserving people, and negative things happen through deserving people. So in other words, this balabas who failed to keep the mitzvah of Micah, so ultimately when somebody falls off his roof, in a certain sense it's not his fault. It was already destined from Sheshes and Ebedeshes, that's going to happen. Nevertheless, the blame is put on him because he being a chayev, then Hashem caused this choiv to happen through him. And the flip side is also, on the other hand, that if he does put up a Micah, then it accomplishes, again, even though Hashem will arrange in his own ways, that person will still fall down. But nevertheless, you, the Balabas, have still had a schus that you did the mitzvah, and the falling didn't happen, it didn't happen on your property. This was saying that we learned from the word noifel, so Marshall learns a little differently. He says, first of all, he says, I mean, so what? You have a lot of times the Torah mentions a hypothetical case. So this is another one that hasn't yet happened, but it's going to happen, and therefore the Torah can speak of Neufel. So first of all, Marshall says, okay, still, when we can find the Derasha, then we use it. Second of all, the point is, why is the Pasuk saying the word Kiyipel HaNeufel? HaNeufel means that he's the fallen one, but he hasn't, even at the time you type talking about that this hypothetical case happens, he hasn't actually fallen yet. So the Pasuk should say, Kiyipel Mimen. So therefore, the Hanoifel gives us this drasha that he was already destined to fall even before he actually did. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Rabbanan. Misha cholav not alamus. If a person is sick and is on the verge of death, omrim lo hisvade, then they tell him, say vid. Shekain kolam umasim misvadin, we see that we find that anybody who's executed by Beis Din is told to say vidri first. We learn that from the story of Ochon and Sefer Yoshua, that he was executed for taking from the spoils of Yericho and carrying on Shabbos and so on and so forth. And Yoshua told him before he was judged and executed to admit to Hashem and say vidri. And then that way I'll have a chelik lelam abba. So the same way, in other words, when a person is on the verge of death, then also he should say vidri. And that's taka how you have in Sfarim like Mavo Yabok and Gesher Achaim and other such things, you have taka the vidri that a person should say before they pass away. Continues the Gemara, Adam Yotze L'Shuk, when a person is going out to the marketplace. Now, just being in the marketplace can sometimes be a hazardous place to be. Rashi explains, you have a lot of times people get into fights over there, you have whether it's Jews or Goyim who may start up and you get into trouble with them or whatever, you actually find, for example, at the end of Bava Basra, you have a case over there where Reuven owes Shimon money and hasn't paid up. And then one day Shimon sees Reuven in the marketplace and he goes and grabs him by the neck and starts strangling him and telling him, where's my money? And then all of a sudden Levi comes and says, fine, I'll be his Oriv. So you see that, in other words, it was that kind of thing where you could have like that in the marketplace, people will get into fights and you might get caught in the crossfire or something, or you yourself might be one of the people who they want to start up. So just going out to the marketplace, Yedoma Be'enav Commission Nims of a Salyut, a person should feel for himself as though he was given over to the police, who are now going to be taking him to a trial. So just going to the shuk itself, in other words, a person should be davening for rachmin from Hashem, that he shouldn't end up in trouble, just like when a person is being arrested, then he should be davening for rachmin. Now, if a person feels a headache, then it's a more serious thing. He should feel as though a person feels when he's put into chains around his neck, which is much more serious. That means, in other words, that he's already on the verge of being condemned. So that's a much more serious situation. He has to daven a lot harder. All of the mitzvah of a nafal, if then he goes into bed and collapses over there, so he's really sick, then he should feel as though he's been taken up to the scaffold to be judged. In Greek and Roman times, they used to have that the people, condemned criminals, were judged on top of a high platform or a high scaffold, and that kind of thing is called a gaudium. It comes from a word meaning steps. It's the same, similar to the word grade and other words like that in English. Anyway, so what happens when a person is on trial like that? im yesh le kachlitin gdor le nitzel, if he has great defenders on his behalf, if he has a really good lawyer, nitzel, then he'll be saved. Im lav ain't a nitzel, and if not, he's not going to be saved. So the same way, when a person is so sick that he collapsed in bed, then he's already in a very dangerous situation, and he needs great advocates on his behalf in Shammai. Rashi points out, after all, that the Gaudim is a place where they only judge people over there on capital cases. You don't go to the Gaudim just for example when somebody is suing you for some money or something. You know, a person is taken to the Gaudim only when there's a capital charge against them. So then they're really in trouble unless they have a good advocate. The Elohim Praklitin Shal Adam. So what are the Praklitin? What are the advocates of a person? Shuvah Ma'isin Tovim. Doing tshuva and doing mitzvahs and doing nice and tight. So in other words, so the Marsha brings from Sifrei Kabbalah, actually mentions that you know, you have a similar idea in Pirkei Avos, actually, that when a person does a mitzvah, then it creates for him it creates a good malach on his behalf. So the good malachim who are his advocates are the ones whom he was doing are the ones created by his mitzvahs. Even if you have 999 malachim arguing to his detriment, arguing against him, the echad malamed olav schus, and one malach is arguing in his defense, nitzel, then he can be saved because of that one mitzvah, because that created that one malach. Shenema, as the pasuk says, we say in Kaporis, im yesh olav malach melitz echad min olav. If there is one malach as an advocate, one out of a thousand, lahagid la'odim yoshroi, to tell about a person's uprightness, to tell about the upright thing about the mitzvah that he did. And the pasuk continues, the next pasuk, by chunenu, then Hashem has rachmanus on him, by yoimun, he says, save him from going down into the grave, or shachas can also mean gehenim. So we see that one single malach out of a thousand can be enough to save a person from the judgment of the beis din shamayla. And Rabbi Yezer, Benesha, Rabbi Yezer Aguli, I feel that shameis petishim petisha ba'oisei malach l'choiva. Even within that one malach for the good, 999 parts out of that malach himself are arguing against the person. The echad b'schus, only 1/1000th of that malach is arguing for his good, which Marusha says. I mean, it's a little hard to understand how that could be. How do you have that one ma'isa should have the 999 parts of 1,000 are bad, and only one part in 1,000 is good? And he says, v'yesh liyashiv. You could reconcile. But you have sometimes, I mean, people are complicated when they do things. Sometimes you have that a person has many different motivations for what they did, and not all those motivations are kosher, but there's one little hidden motive, a part, spark of a motivation in there, which that 1,000. So then Rabbi Eliezer is saying that still nitzel, the person can be saved in the schus of that. Shenema melitz echa mini olaf, because that same pasuk says one advocate out of 1,000, in other words, implying that the advocate within the advocate himself, only one out of 1,000 parts of him is advocating on behalf of the person, and the rest are not, and nevertheless that can be enough for him to save him from Hashem's judgment. We'll finish with a yakko for a moment. Yom Mashiach Gola. Chobez are the bays. The Rambam mentions that Mashiach will fix up the whole world to serve Hashem together. So that means we talked about yesterday about the shleimus of Mashiach himself, that he himself will be hogeh b'torah v'osek b'mitzvos, and you have the line in the pasuk, Yaskil Abdi, my servant will be wise, Yonim Menisav Gavam Arid, will be very high and raised up and exalted. Besides that, Mashiach will, as the Rambam says, will fix up the whole world to serve Hashem together, as the pasuk says, Ki oz epechalamim, Hashem says, but then I will turn that all the nations will all call together in the name of Hashem in the Gula Amidus Vashlema take of Miyad Mash. Continuing on halachas of you made a bracha on food and now you have more of it. So we've been talking about when you have to make a new bracha and when not, when you have new food brought. So now here's another case. A person made a bracha on some beer, and he intended with that to pater anything else that's shakol. So then if they bring him fish, which are also shakol, then he doesn't have to make a separate bracha. But if he just had he had in mind stam, then no. Then even if when they bring the fish, some of the beer is still there, he would have to make a bracha on the fish. Now, we talked yesterday about the idea that when it's fruit, it's not necessarily, because it depends whether the new fruit is more choshuv than the previous, because at least all of them are food. But when it comes to beer versus fish, they're two completely different things. One's a drink and one is food. So one does not patur the other unless they were both there at the time of the bracha or you actually had your das on them. So it would apply not only to beer, of course, but to all drinks except for wine. Now, all of these halachas we were talking about so far is only a person eating his own food. So a person is eating his own food. There are times when he doesn't have to make a new bracha when they brought him a new one because he had in mind it's all his own food. He could eat whatever of it he wants. But you have a case where a person is eating by somebody else. So then it all depends on the das of the balabais. So then when he makes a bracha on one min, then it will pater everything else that's brought, even if there's none left of the original, because it all depends on the das balabais. So he knows to begin with that it's not going to depend on his own idea of what he plans to eat and whatnot. On the other hand, if he really is nimlach, if he really did not intend to eat anymore, and now they bring him more and he changed his mind, then even a guest will have to make a new bracha. What about if the host didn't plan to bring any more, but the guests asked him to bring out some more, so he did? Also, they don't have to make a bracha, because again, they rely on the das balabais that he's going to give them everything that they need. And another halacha, if a person comes to a meal, and they give him a cup of a drink, and he makes a bracha on it, and then they give him more cups. So again, if that's the minhag, that they're going to give him more cups of mashke or whatever it is, then the stamma, he meant all of them. So again, there's no separate bracha for the rest of them.
There's also something in the Devar Malchus.
Yeah.
The person is sucking juice out of a fruit.
So sucking juice out of a fruit, generally, is going to be shakol, because most fruit right, because most fruit juices are shakol, with the exception of wine and olive oil. And even olive oil in principle, we had this in a previous halacha, olive oil in principle you make ha'etz on, but in practice it's very rare that you do, because you don't drink it by itself, and if you're drinking in a mixture, usually it's bottled for the mixture, and wine, of course, is very priagraf. But yeah, all other fruit juices are charcoal, and therefore, yeah, if you're just sucking the juice out of a fruit, it's going to be charcoal always, yeah.
It's like a lemon.
Yeah.
People used to eat lemons, but...
If you suck on it, then it's charcoal. Yeah, if you, yeah. Yeah.